Albo from Nairobi. Let's give him a round of applause. Albo, what do you do at Nairobi Chapel?
A bunch of stuff. Do you want what I do officially at work or what?
Okay. Yeah. Officially is good.
All right. Yep. I'm a worship and music pastor at Nairobi Chapel and also double up as a young adults pastor.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. And that's your family up on the screen?
Yeah, my family is going to come up on screen a bit.
It's on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's my clan.
Let me introduce my family.
That's my wife. That's my wife, the one at the back. All right. It's my wife, and her name is Edda. Big smiley at the front here. His name is Bulamu. He's turning 3 in August. And my little boy, Seo, is turning 1 in August. That's my clan. Yeah.
That's really cute.
Thanks.
You can have my kids. I'll swap.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Very kind of you.
Albert, you weren't always in ministry. Tell us about how you actually got into being involved as a full-time minister of God's Word.
All right. I've been in Nairobi Chapel from the time I was like, let's say 16 years. And I prayed to God that I would go to the university that was near the church, University of Nairobi. And I got an admission to that school, studied engineering for 5 years. And my 5 years sort of felt like I was in school so that I could wait to get out of class to go and do missions and to do a lot of other ministry things. So when I graduated from engineering, I was like, okay, that was a lot of fun and all, but let me do what I really, really have a passion for, which was ministry. So I broke off from that.
So tell me, if you're going to address the high schoolers and the young university students out there, what would you encourage us to do?
And some of the stuff we'll be talking about today is that God has a very unique plan for us. Now, for some of us, God has called us to ministry proper, like to church ministry. And God is calling you to very specific areas of ministry. Some of you, it might require for you to do like a career shift like I did. But I think the bulk of us, God would want us to serve him exactly where we are. That's what I feel, yeah.
I'll hand over to you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
All right. All right, let me teach you a greeting from back in Nairobi. Whoever is greeting says, Niaje waze, and then you guys say, poa. Are you guys ready for that? You just say, poa. It's really simple. Niaje waze? Poa. All right, it came different versions, but pretty close. I'm excited about what God is doing out here. I've been here for only just a week. I came on Tuesday. And I'm excited about what God is doing out here. It just completely thrilled me. And I've met some of you. Some of you have met you before. I was with Ben out in Nairobi. Went did one of those crazy wild bush camps with him, Ben Gray. And it was awesome getting to meet him. And guys out here are really, really nice. And I want to say thank you, especially to the Eldridges. Are they around? They have been hosting hosting me this week. And I really want to say a big thanks for that. I'll say a bit more about myself as I go by. And when I think about my life, are you guys okay with my accent? You sort of catching up pretty good? Thank you. All right. I think of myself as a pretty responsible father. Yeah, I think of myself a pretty responsible father. And sometime last year, maybe about February, March, my wife went out on holiday with some friends of us to the Kenyan coast. They were having a great time. And she left me home with Bulamu, just me and Bulamu, just the boys doing this thing. So normally that's a really risky thing. But she felt, Albo, I believe in you. I'm going to leave my son, just the two of you. Please take care of him. And I was like, yeah, go ahead. Let's go have fun. Go, you'll be just get at the beach having all the great fun while I'll be here taking care of the kids. And one of these nights, being a responsible father, it was time to wash, to give my little boy a bath. And I did everything correct. I put out his diapers. I put his night clothes and everything. And usually would put a little basin, warm water, put it in there, and make sure the temperature is just right. And I was put to the soap that he needed next there so that when I start, I just get on with it and I'll be done. And everything is going on well. And I was like, is there anything else I need to do before I start working on this guy? So I felt pretty good. There's a little feeling inside me that maybe something wasn't quite right. But I was like, hey, all the same, started washing his hair. And my son loves this process because the water is like not really even ankle deep. And he likes kicking the water as he went along. So I'm trying to soap him with Johnson & Johnson. Is that product out here? Yeah, Johnson & Johnson pour like anoint him generously with Johnson & Johnson. And we're having a great time and my son is kicking all the water. Dad and son are having an awesome time. And then suddenly I was just working on his hair and stuff and he stopped kicking the water. And I was like, what's the problem? I was like, oh, whatever. I continue what I was doing. And the one thing I hadn't thought about doing came to mess with me a bit later. When he stood still, he suddenly realized that he was pressed. And he let it out right there. So, I mean, he just peed right into the water. And I was like, oh, man, I should have thought of that. I should have taken him to potty before. And so I was like, what do I do? What do I do? I need to think fast. I need to act fast because, you know, I don't know. So I did what every responsible father would do in such a situation. Because I looked around his feet and the water around his feet was turning somewhat yellowish. So I did what every responsible father would do in such a situation. I scooped out the water that was near his feet and threw it out of the basin. I'm like, okay, looks pretty clear now. And we went on with the shower. I smelled the water a bit. It smelled pretty good. And when I was thinking maybe it's not going to smell so good, I just put a lot more of Johnson & Johnson. And we have a great time. There's foam and soap everywhere. When I was done with him, he didn't smell that bad. And I was quite happy with myself. But there was a little anxiety within me about how I solve problems. It seems that I many times go for the shortcut, whatever brings me least inconvenience. That's what I'm going to do. Fast forward it a couple of, a year later, about a month and a half ago, my wife and I are out on a marriage retreat. And we're talking about ourselves and our personalities. And these guys get you to talk about yourselves, how we're brought up and all those things. And something was brought out that day. And I began to realize I respond right now in pretty much the same ways my parents used to respond to problems and situations. And that made me a little anxious because I know some of the things that I feel my parents weren't really good at. You know, I don't know if you guys have sometimes got to the place in your life where you feel, I would like to change this about how my parents brought me up or how some things they did, you wanted to change them. And then some things they did pretty good. And I was like, yeah, I'd like to do some of that stuff. But how I acted out, how I resolved my problems to date, it's very close to how my parents used to resolve them. And I began to be anxious about especially the things I felt of myself that they are negative, that maybe perhaps my son, when he grows up, will be doing the exact same mistakes that I do. And that made me a little anxious. And I wonder about yourself. How do you view your life? Because you know, we're used to looking at life in a certain bunch of different ways, and our temptation is always to look at life in the same way that our fathers and our fathers' fathers have generally looked at life. And so the prophet Isaiah is looking at the people of God, and this was a time that things were really not going so well for them. Jerusalem was not just working out for the city of Jerusalem. And he wants to encourage them, and he tells the nation of Israel, look to the rock from which you are cut. And he's basically telling them, look at your fathers and your fathers' fathers and all your ancestors. Look how God has acted among them through the years. And I can imagine that half of Jerusalem and half of Israel is thinking, you know, you do not understand our father Abraham. You know, you mention him, but you don't understand that when you look at Abraham, we do not see the good stuff. We see a man who twice lied about his wife and told people that no, that was his sister. We're looking at a man who could not wait for the promise of God to be accomplished in his life, but actually had a child with the maid servant. We're looking to a man who, in many, many ways, had such stark weaknesses. And if you're asking us to look to him and Sarah, his wife, maybe there's half of Israel that are a bit anxious about that. Because we know things about our ancestors that didn't go too good. And I wonder what would it be like for an Australian in Sydney in a church called St. Paul's, what it would look like for us to look to our ancestors and how they've typically resolved things, how they've gone through life. Do you look at it on one hand here with a sense of shame? And there's some of us who, when I look through my past, I look at it with sometimes there are things that have happened back there, and I'm pretty ashamed about them. I look to some of the things that are said about my culture, and some of them are true. I'm just not too pleased about them. Let me give you a couple. Let's say that among my culture, we are people who are not always forthright when we speak. We don't always say the truth of what's happening in our hearts. And I could agree with you in person about what's going on in my what's about a situation, but in my heart, I wouldn't really, really tell you the truth. And I, growing up, no, I realized I struggled with that. I struggled with my culture. Many times we are not true and forthright. And we struggle with that, you know, in terms of music. Part of my culture, we enjoy music. We like it loud. We like it, the beats are everything. But sometimes the content is not so much. And I know a gift here out here in Australia is that you have been enriched with content in your music. And in your ability to worship God, you explore the various ways in which God could be spoken to in terms of just the lyrics that we use. And sometimes it's possible to look to our past with a sense of shame. And the Israelites would be looking at their past, and they're looking at all the fathers, you could name it. I mean, name any of their fathers, there are such issues. Talk about Jacob. Oh, man. The guy was a liar. He was always up to something. He always had a scheme of how to look at life, and he was always trying to get the best deal around him. He was even called, his name means a person who's a liar. Look at their father David, a couple of generations later, the kind of person who so shamefully just he had issues with women from his time out there as a king, and it just seemed that from his generation to the generation after him, the lies, the issues with women exploded even more to the generation after him. And it's possible for the whole of Israel to think, you know what? There's nothing really big to be proud about and pleased about our ancestors. And I wonder if you're like that. I wonder if, as you come to, we talk about global missions, I wonder if you're looking at yourself and you're saying, you know, you do not know what I've done. You do not know the things that have been done to me. You do not know the things I have gone through, and they're so shameful. And it's amazing, every time God was using some of his, the biggest names we know of his servants, name it, Moses, they go to the place where before he could send them out on mission, he paused a moment and dealt with their issues, their shame. Moses telling God, look, I'm just a stammerer. What can I give? And God had to deal with some of those before he sent them out. So there's some here who, when you think about our ancestors and our heritage and what the culture generally brings to us, we are filled with a sense of shame. But there might be another bunch of Israelites who are like, yeah, maybe they're not the shameful type. They have a sense of pride. They'll be thinking, you know what? Do you know of all nations, we are the only nation that God has spoken to directly? Can you imagine that our nation was actually the nation that was given the very word of God? No other nation over the whole of the universe had God walking with them in the desert by day and by night. Look, no other nation has so many prophets been sent to as our nation. And it's possible that a lot of Israelites will be looking at the issue of God sending them out with a lot of pride. You hold your chest up high and you're like, we are the ones. It's not going to get any better than this. And I wonder if sometimes that could be you. That sometimes when you think about God sending us out, we are like, pride is the one thing that we need to overcome. So on one hand, you have a bunch of people out here who are just this is filled with a lot of shame, just dealing with so much issues you don't think that God would ever want to touch your issues. And then there's a whole new bunch of people out here who are filled with a lot of pride. This is what I figure, guys, that when God wants to send us out on mission, many of us will need to figure out how we're going to balance those two. How we're going to not swing from shame, because shame cripples you from being able to respond to God. And yet he doesn't want us to swing the opposite way and go to the place of pride. Because also pride has a sense in which it just makes you stuck. We meet this guy in Luke chapter 12, verse 18 to 21, who says, then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for anyone who stores up anything for himself, but is not rich towards God. And some people are thinking, oh, I'd rather respond out of shame than respond out of pride. It's a little poem by Max Lucado. Some of you know him. He said, pride and shame, you'd never know they are sisters. They appear so different. Pride puffs out her chest. Shame hangs her head. Pride boasts. Shame hides. Pride seeks to be seen. Shame seeks to be avoided. But don't be fooled. The emotions have the same parentage, and the emotions have the same impact. They keep you from your father. Pride says, you are too good for him. Shame says, you're too bad for him. Pride drives you away from God's will and purpose. Shame keeps you away. If pride is what goes before a fall, then shame is what keeps you from getting up after one. We need to be willing to boldly move to the place where we're willing to tell God, Lord, look at my life. I know you want to send me. I know you want to transform the high schools in Sydney through me. But look at all the mess that I have inside. And there'll be some others who you're looking at God. Look, God, look at me. What will they say of me if I go out there? Will I have to let go of a prestigious position in school? What will they say of me in my neighborhood, at my place of work, if I go around knocking doors? What will they say of my children when my children say, I want to go out on mission? Will you struggle with shame? Will you struggle with pride? Because you've brought them up to be like the top notch in society, and you're wondering, look now, they're going to waste away out there. What does that mean to you? You need to know that whenever God asks you to do something, that is one of the things that you'll need to overcome. God is calling this church to do amazing, amazing things. Back in Nairobi Chapel, we've had the opportunity of hosting your pastor, John Gray. And without coming here, we know it. We know it, and we've heard of it. And we know God is doing awesome and amazing things here. And I pray that in this church, from the youngest to the eldest, we'll be willing to break out of these two shells that seem to just lock us in. The shell of pride and the shell of shame. And you'll be amazed what God can do. Some of us sort of over-define ourselves, and we know we're reaching out. You know, Pastor, we're reaching out to the postmodern generation. It's no longer the same. What will they think of us? And my wife and we have studied postmodernity. My wife wrote her thesis in her master's about postmodernity in the African urban context. And we always felt, oh, look, man, if this is what postmoderns are, we will never be able to reach out to them. It's so much work. But God is telling us not to respond either out of shame or out of pride. But the passage in Isaiah chapter 51 asks us to respond in faith and to not give up praying for the people that God has called us to. And I pray that this church will be a church that is full of people who we identify the areas where there are obstacles and there are hurdles, and we'll say, we are going to go there. We sang a song earlier saying, I will go. I will break through any form of obstacle just to reach there. One of the lines, I think, I can't remember which song, it was going something like, I will not allow my eyes to be blinded by privilege, but I will choose to go where God has asked me to. Psalms chapter 71 verse 18 says, even when I am old and gray, I like that one because we could put John Gray there. Even when I'm old and John Gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation. Guys, I'm interested in the next generation. Till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. And I want you to look in the scriptures. You name it. Any person that God used had to do this struggle and this swing. It's up until they said, God, I'm going to follow you no matter what what has been said about me. God said of each one of them, follow me. No matter what people have said about you, no matter what you have done in the past, follow me. Psalms chapter 78, verse 1 to 4, I'll read that one for us. It says, O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Let me tell you what this has meant for my family. One of the things that I realized about my family growing up and coming into marriage was that among my family, there was an issue with marriages, a big issue with marriages. It just seemed that none of my cousins, none of them at all, chose to get married in a sort of like proper way. They sort of just came and lived in together, got kids and stuff. And later the marriages went and started breaking up. At the same time, I looked through my family, my extended family here, and I saw just a series of broken relationships. I saw a lot of alcohol abuse, and it made me feel, what will I offer? What if this happens to me? Because it's been passed on from generation to generation. When I look to the rock from which I'm cut, all I see is alcoholism. I saw it in my two brothers. Just a lot of, I couldn't understand. It seemed like my cousins had been involved in a lot of crime. Some of my uncles had been involved in crime. And I began to see it in my brothers, my two brothers. And I was like, God, what's going on? And this is one of those things that whenever I came before God and I wanted him to use me, I always felt, Lord, I can't be used by you because look at my past. Look what defines me right here. And it was easy for me to move to, especially to move to shame. And there are many other things. And I pray that God would make the youth and the adults out here in St. Paul's Castle Hill be willing to identify them, look at them straight in the face, and say, even though relationships have not been working out around us as we've wanted, even though sometimes we feel like our history has not produced so much fruit in terms of witness as we hear of it in other parts of the world, that instead of being ashamed about it or proud about moving on to the next generation, that God would use us mightily to be people who speak faith and speak a powerful outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in this generation and beyond. Look, I want to pray for us. I'd like to pray for us. And this, I'll tell you what I'm going to pray for us. One, I'm going to pray that God would allow our families to be a workshop of people who are missional for God. That our families would be a kind of place where even though we realize weaknesses that have bound us from one generation to another, and I don't claim to be a master and a guru at understanding Australian culture. I'll let you begin to read your culture for yourself. But I'm going to pray that God would allow that in our homes, the vibe around our homes would be that we will choose to overcome whatever it is that our soul would have pressed us down. Some of you, it might be that you have a brother or a sister who's just been, you know, black sheep. They are just rebellious and they're out there. For some of you, it might be hidden secrets in the family that no one ever wants to talk to. And you know, if you're ever going to go out to mission, those things are going to pull you back. Of some of you, it will be things that you have done or things that have been done on or around you that just make you feel God will never use me at all in the future. That God is going to come in and by faith he's going to release, as you said or heard in that passage, he says that there's going to be a singing and shouting of joy, shouts of joy as God's people go out and they are used by him. So let me ask you, what are those things that you are possibly ashamed about that will probably make it difficult for you to serve God fully? And let me ask you, you are the best person to read Australian culture, to ask you, what are some of those things that our culture is very proud of that possibly might make us not minister God effectively to the generations and beyond the borders of this land? It's probably up to you to think about those. And I'm going to ask that we can bring them before God and say, God, we want to walk by faith and we want to walk and trust that we will allow us to break through all the barriers that have hindered us to accomplish these things. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and I'll pray for us. Father, hearts of different ones of us rise to you right now. And we can hear it at the back of our minds. We can hear laziness. We can hear alcoholism. We can hear arrogance. We can hear busyness. And we hear all these things that the evil one would want to point a finger to us and say, you will never make it. You'll never be significant in mission because of these things. But when you look to the rock from which you are cut, Father, we also hear from your throne, we hear fruitfulness. Father, we hear an outworking of the Holy Spirit alive along the lives of many people, causing healing, causing reconciliation, causing great and abundant fruit for the sake of your kingdom. And I want to pray those things upon St. Paul's Castle Hill, that Father, upon this church will be people who are willing to trust you to overcome anything that would have been said of them so that this generation can propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ even that much more. Thank you for the many people that you're sending from this place right now. And I want to pray, Father, that you may enrich them with your word. Enrich them with the presence of the Holy Spirit, a passion for you that cannot be quenched because they have been released to serve you even more fully. May the passage of Isaiah 51, 1 to 12 be true of us, that we will go to the nations of the earth because we have been released by the power of God to do so. Release us, Father, right now from pride. Release us right now from shame and allow us to serve you wholeheartedly. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.